Welcome to Optimize Your Retirement, presented by Higher Ground Financial Group. This is the radio show and podcast dedicated to helping you navigate common financial challenges on the path to a successful retirement. Tax attorney Daniel Rasby and his father Raz have a passion for guiding people towards financial freedom by helping individuals understand and reduce the three biggest retirement killers: risk, fees, and taxes. Now, let's begin. Here are your hosts, Daniel and Raz.
Welcome back to the show. I am Daniel Rasby.
And I'm Imran Rasby. I go by Raz, and this is Higher Ground Financial Group, Risk, Fees, and Taxes. And we'd love to have you call in or talk to us sometime. You can go to riskfeestaxes.com and schedule an appointment. It's free. But we have a lot to share, and today we're going to share a little bit about
emergency funds. So everybody's heard you should have an emergency fund, right? But what does that really mean? And how do you go about building an emergency fund if you already have a good amount of assets? Do you really need an emergency fund? Is it only for, you know, people that live paycheck to paycheck? Is it important to have emergency fund? What does that really mean, and how do you go about it?
Well, there's lots of different things to think about with the emergency fund, right? One is it's got to be cash and liquid and available in an emergency. So it can't be put away someplace. It can't be in, say, gold or platinum because it's not really spendable. That's a different emergency thing, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. But it has to be cash and liquid available. And some people even have it in safes at home. Some people have it in safety deposit boxes. Some people have it just in a savings account.
And so the general rule of thumb you hear from advisors is that you should have at least 3 to 6 months worth of living expenses in an emergency fund. And the reason for that is if you lose your job or you get disabled, you know, you want to be able to have enough to continue to fund your lifestyle for at least several months, so that you don't have to immediately worry about money while you're taking care of the emergency. And that's important. But I think also you want to plan for different types of emergencies, and you want to have an emergency fund that is useful in many different situations. So having it in the bank is good. Banks are protected from loss. They're contractual assets. We talk about this.
$250,000.
We talk about this on the show quite a bit. They're contractual assets. And the bank is the most common place for people to keep emergency funds. Usually you can access money in your bank instantly or within a day or so just to go make a withdrawal. Now, be careful. If you have too much in the bank, you can't necessarily take out more than a few thousand at a time without prior notice. They don't actually keep the cash in the bank for that.
Right. I tried to buy a car and I wanted $22,000 out of my account and they wouldn't give it to me. I had to go to 6 different banks to get it out. And what a pain. So yeah, normally they're limited to about $2,000 to $4,000 to take out of a bank unless you called ahead of time, made arrangements.
But that's okay. You can use your debit card, right? You can use a credit card, right? If you need to. And no, not always. Depends on the type of emergency. Look at some of these natural disasters we had recently where the hurricane comes through and ravages a whole town or a whole county. You don't have access to internet. You don't have access to phone. So the credit cards are not processing. So in that case, cash is very useful.
But if your house washes away and the safe washes away with it, that's another problem.
Exactly.
So we can't really plan for everything. But having cash on hand is actually very essential in an emergency. And there's several different kinds. One is a natural disaster emergency. It could be a war. It could be whatever. But the other is just a loss of a job or being disabled or having a family member have an emergency and you need to help them. So there are different things. And as Daniel said, 3 to 6 months is really minimal that you should have. Many of our clients have about a year's worth of income set aside just for that reason.
And you have to keep in mind, if you are going to keep some in cash, there's a point at which you may have too much in cash, because if you want to go deposit it, the bank won't take it.
Right.
They're going to say, where's this cash come from? You could be withdrawing $500 every day from the account for a year, and then when it comes time, you want to make it, $20,000 or $30,000 or $50,000 deposit, they'll say, well, we don't know where this money came from. Like, it came out of your bank for the last year. Nope, they have to do a whole bunch of checks. We ran across somebody that tried to buy a house with literal cash, like $200,000 in, $100 bills, and they wouldn't take it. Of course, the settlement company wouldn't take it. So he had to put it in the bank very slowly over a long period of time to get by the restrictions. So be careful about that. But having a few thousand or even a few tens of thousands of dollars, depending on what you might need it for in cash, is a reasonable thing. But the other thing I wanted to talk about is...
Before we go into that, Daniel, If you have money in the bank, there's cash there, and that's a fine place to keep it. You can put it in CDs. A lot of people are concerned that if they put in a CD, it's locked up and they can't use it. But it's not really true. Your money is never at risk, and you can always get your money out. Now, what you would lose is probably about 3 months worth of interest, okay, that you already accumulated.
And it depends on the CD. Some of them are 3 months or 6 months. Some of them are, don't have no penalties. It really depends on the account. Yeah. But yes, you're never going to have a penalty for your principal.
And it's the same thing as having cash in a safe, except that it's in the bank. But you have to get it to the bank first. So if you want to keep some of the money in the CDs, don't worry about it being locked up. It's not locked up. You have access to it.
I just talked to somebody the other day, and she's saying, well, I rolled over my $200,000 into another CD. And it's a 6 month CD. I did that last week. So I guess I got to wait 6 months before I do anything else with this money. And I said, no, you can touch it whenever you want. You may not get interest, but it's only been a week. You haven't earned any interest yet. So if you found something else you want to do with the money, you can certainly do it. But the other thing to be aware of is inflation is a factor. So wherever you have your emergency fund, make sure, if possible, you're going to earn interest on it, or at least a lot of it. If there's a way, if it's with a savings account or a money market account or a CD, to have at least keep pace with inflation. And in many cases, if you know that you're going to be needing this, there's certain things you're going to need over the next year. It's okay to buy ahead for food, for example. A lot of our clients, during the early years of the pandemic, there were a lot of food shortages and the grocery stores were running out of things. And especially
toilet paper.
Yeah, but a lot of clients that had listened to us before, they already had a decent amount of food storage in their house so that they didn't have to rush out to the grocery store every day or every week. They had several months or even a year or more of food in their house. That doesn't make you a doomsday prepper to have more than a year of food in your house. Think about it. A generation ago, you had to have enough food to last to the next harvest. So everybody had a minimum of a year of food in their house. And that didn't make them planning for the end of the world or anything like that. It just made them wise and prudent with their money. Now, if you're going to go put all your money and all your assets into, freeze-dried food that you're never going to eat unless the world actually ends, that may be not the wisest thing. But
unless the world ends.
So you'd be very wise in that one specific situation.
Right.
But we're fans on this show of being able to use one asset for multiple different purposes. And if you have food storage of normal food that you would actually eat over the next year, let's say you're like me and you eat a lot of rice, then having some rice in your house enough for several months or a year or more would be a great idea, because I know I'm going to eat it. If an emergency does not actually happen, well, I'm going to buy new rice and then I'm going to eat the rice I already have so that it doesn't go bad. Same thing with any canned food or non-perishable food that you would normally eat. Now, if you're not like me, you don't eat a lot of rice, then don't go buy 500 pounds of rice. It's not going to be eaten unless, again, the world ends. So plan for multiple different things that can be used. But in the early days of the pandemic, those people that actually had a decent amount of food, they saved massively on the inflation cost, because food is now so much more expensive than it used to be. And people that had food, they did not have to go out and rush and buy it again. So they were able to use some time to adjust to inflation with their other assets.
Right.
And so have a plan for not just cash emergency fund, but maybe some non-perishables, because in a hurricane, like we've seen recently, that you may have money. And the people, the grocery store may be able to even accept cash, but they may not have food in the grocery store because it's all gone for a week or two. So you should be able to take care of yourself and have food and water and other emergency supplies for those types of things, not just cash. So again, go to our website, riskfeestaxes.com. Emergencies are a risk, and you want to be prepared for all types, even if some types are more remote possibly than others, still have thoughts about it. Don't be overcome by fear. Don't be worried about emergencies, but be confident that you have the ability to take care of yourself and your family if something happens. So Raz, a lot of people ask also about gold and silver. Are those good during emergencies?
So they're the investment of choice for people that are worried about the dollar or worried about the market, worried about those same kind of things. And gold has done extremely well over this past year. Now, historically, gold's been pretty stable. It hasn't done really well. It's gone up and down. It's still an opinion-based asset. However, it never goes to zero. You'll never have gold going out of business. It's always going to have some intrinsic value. And one of the things is the company, now technology, uses a lot of gold because it has a lot of value in the technology and conducting and things like that. So there's a lot of, you can actually harvest gold from old computers and cell phones, things like that, because there's gold in there. So gold is not a bad asset to have. One of the things, though, is how do you hold it? Do you put it gold in an IRA?
And that would be one thing that we would usually caution against. You don't want to have your gold and silver in an IRA. If you're going to buy gold.
But why is that? Why not have gold in an IRA? Because you can't have it. You can't actually have physical control of it, right?
Well, right. And so, you know, there's two main reasons people buy gold. One is for stability during market crashes or high inflation. And sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't, because it still does not have a contractual value. It does fluctuate. It can lose value, and it has in the past. But usually, it's going to do well in times the economy is weak. Gold and silver will do well. However, they do well in those times. But the other reason people buy them is because of emergencies. They're thinking that if the dollar were to actually collapse, or if there's an extended period of time where there's no infrastructure not necessarily in the whole country, but just in your area, wherever you are, because of some natural disaster potentially, that you can use gold and silver for barter tools. If that is even remotely a concern in your mind, then having it in IRA would not work at all for that, because you have to be able to access it in those emergency times. But more than that, the IRS does restrict what types of gold and silver can be held inside of an IRA. Some of the coins that actually do go up in value even more can't always be held inside of an IRA or not allowed to be held inside of an IRA. So there are certain restrictions. There's management fees and so on that apply to gold inside of IRAs. So we're usually recommending to our clients, if you want to have some of your assets in hard currency, gold and silver, then having it accessible, having it in a safe or safety deposit box or someplace that you can actually get to is going to be better for you. As long as it is secure, it's not going to be open to theft and so on.
And coins are better than gold bars, because gold bars can be very much faked or chipped out or scraped off.
In the news, Costco is selling so many gold bars. And it's interesting, almost everything in Costco has a very, very generous return policy, but they don't accept returns on their gold, as far as I can tell. I read that on their website, right. I believe. So because they know it can be counterfeited. It can be it's one of the easy things to counterfeit, these bars.
Yeah. So if you have questions about gold, silver, platinum, make an appointment with us, riskfeestaxes.com. We can help you resolve those. We can help you give you information on what's best for you and how to hold it and what to do and where to get it from. There's many different choices out there, and it's very confusing. So make an appointment at riskfeestaxes.com.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Optimize Your Retirement. To take the next step and receive personalized guidance tailored to your specific financial situation, schedule your free call with Daniel and Raz from Higher Ground Financial Group. Visit riskfeestaxes.com. That's riskfeestaxes.com. Or call 888-263-HGFG. That's 888-263-4434. We look forward to hearing from you.
Any examples used are for illustrative purposes only and do not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and may not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to predict the performance of any specific investment and is not a solicitation or recommendation of any investment strategy. Higher Ground Financial Group does not provide securities investment advice. No part of this program should be construed as advice to buy, hold, or sell any security. Any mention of securities is incidental and for educational purposes only. Legal and tax advice provided through Higher Ground Legal Incorporated, pursuant to signed retainer agreement, if applicable.